But what is Moorish man? Not man, Moorish man. We're Moorish mammon.
Yep.
We're Moorish men. But this is about magazine on RTR.
Good morning, this is Moorish Mag, 92.1 RTR FM, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM in Albany with Minang Mob, and today we're on Wadjuk country. Tony, how you going?
Yeah, good, Jimbo. Good, good to be back and be on board, helping out and supporting you today.
G'day. Nick's still on assignment and working hard. Saw him yesterday.
Yeah, Nick was working hard down there, out there yesterday up there at Kings Park, and it's always good to see you, brother.
Nandja Cooling had 800 members down there yesterday. What's that park called, Dennis?
I don't know. What's the name? King Charles Park, isn't it? King's Park, isn't it?
Oh, we'll go there. Dennis Eggington is our guest today, talking about Noongar Rising, and this is your weekly program about good news on Wadjuk country and Minang country, and talking to a whole range of people. That brings us good news, not necessarily sad news, but good news about our mob and what we're doing. So stay locked to 92.1. We'll go to a song shortly, and we'll introduce Dennis Eggington, but we'll get a chance to talk through a little about what happened yesterday with Dennis Eggington, ex-CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service, and now leading the charge with Noongar Rising, with the chair of the Southwest Aboriginal Land Council. So, good to be back again. Big shout out to Nick. Hope he's doing well with his assignments. Did a big smoking yesterday for 800 people, and that was a great event. Luckily, the sun stayed away. Luckily, it didn't rain, because it did rain a couple of days ago. So keep it locked, 92.1, and you'll be hearing from a great friend, great mate, warrior, long time on Noongar Budja, long time campaigning for Aboriginal people in the state, and it's going to be a real pleasure to talk to Dennis Eggington coming up. Let's go to a song. Have you just tuned in, Moorish Mag?
Yeah, what a great song there, Jim, from Emily Waramara, Magic Woman Dancing.
Whoa, courtesy. No, she's not from Koori Country, where our guests' in-laws are from. She's from the Territory somewhere, Emily Waramara. And, the courtesy and pleasure of meeting her a couple of years ago at the National Indigenous Music Awards in Darwin. And she wasn't married then. I think she's mellowed a little. She has a child, and great song coming up a little later, Black Smoke, that I love. She also does a cover of Coloured Stone, Black Boy. Talking about Black Boy. Dennis Eggington's in the studio. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Jimbo, you black thing yourself.
Dennis, great to have you on the show. It's always a pleasure to see you, and you've brought your lovely wife in, Luella. Yeah. Lovely to see you, Luella. Nice. Don't have to say a word. Dennis Eggington, ex-CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service, moved now into another area, which I'm really excited to talk about. And I've been wanting Dennis to come in, forever, really, to talk about Noongar Nation building and stuff. But saw him yesterday and managed to harangue him to come in today. He wasn't satisfied with the phone interview. No, he had to front up. Good morning, Dennis. Good to see you.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Cousy Tonch. How are you?
Yeah, good, Den. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Who's your mob? Where are you from?
Well, you're my mob. I'm from the same place as you, brother.
So you're going to tell the listeners now?
Come on, don't go claiming.
I'm nearly 70 with a brain injury. I can't remember where I'm from. I'm obviously, from our great Noongar Nation and our Southwest clans from down the south. We're now called Kari Karak, as you know, but of course that is Goring and Mirin country, and we're probably connected close to those, me and you, Tonge, to those two areas, also across to apical ancestors in the Esperance Noongar claim from Balladonna, the two Bevan sisters. So we've got traditional ties as far as Ravensthorpe, Thomas River, so the bottom part of the lower southwest, far away from Wadjuk and Balladong and Yuit country. But they're all cool. Yeah. They're all good. They're all part of our great Noongar Nation.
We've just about run out of time. Yeah. Dennis, thanks for letting us know your mom and where you come from. Courtesy to our listeners, you know, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Minang Country, and part of your mob too, Minang, I guess. Yep. But, I mean, you've been claiming everybody else, so you might as well claim Minang and Goreng as well.
Yes, cousin Jimbo.
So, ex-CEO, you've stepped down after some time, and sadly, your health is not good, but, you know, you're always still full of energy, and it's welcome to Mortgage Mag here at RTR FM 92.1. So, you spoke yesterday. I didn't get the opportunity or the pleasure to hear what you had to say. So maybe you can tell our listeners about the T-shirt you're wearing, Noongar Rising. What's that all about, please, bro?
Noongar Rising is about the capability of getting above colonialism and the colonial impost that is currently on all Australians, all West Australians, but particularly First Nations peoples. And yesterday's revival of meaning and purpose and resilience and strength of Noongar to survive the initial contact, that frontier war contact, and be as strong as we have and have that meeting in Kings Park with 800 people or more. I thought it was the opportunity to say thank you to everyone who have been a part of getting us to this stage, which is now the next stage of our revolution, our Noongar Rising. We've got our settlement in place. A lot of us didn't support it and like the idea of it. It's not the perfect vehicle, but it has given us a great opportunity. 24 years ago, Jimbo, you were standing at Clontarf when 200 elders gave us the authority to go out and cement our Noongar Nation. We threw pebbles of sand into the water and rippled Noongar Nation throughout Noongar Buja. And now it's talked about, it's thought about, it's discussed, it's in our narrative, it's in our written word, and so Noongar Nation is ready to rise above what we have got in the settlement, above what we are getting from society. It is time for Noongar to unite together. 40,000 of us will be strong if we allow ourselves to be individually coerced into this society with money and wealth and stuff. Yeah, you and your family can be very strong and very proud. And, you know, I've made a lot of money from the misery of our people working at the Aboriginal Legal Service at that coalface of the war that continues against us. No longer, you know, language and budja and culture just strengthen you from that day-to-day existence and fighting that war. So it's time for Noongar to rise, and I think that that's the message. We are ready to rise.
Good. I mean, it's something worthwhile. I've got a feeling out there's a little bit of division, fractionalisation amongst the mob now, and that's been brought about by, I don't know, maybe a bit of selfishness and people just thinking about themselves. But can you remind our listeners how this all came about? We had an historical case, one here, that was probably one of the biggest native title claims in the country at the time. Can you remind our listeners when that happened?
And I do apologise to all my countrymen out there and everyone else, because I didn't believe in native title and I didn't believe in the settlement. And that might seem strange from me, but I'm an opportunist and I will take advantage of that. But sure, the whole idea, and it's really a complicated part of this history of this country. And very quickly in 1974, we became separate from the Privy Council in England, and we became all collective under the Australia Act, and we all became citizens of this country, and we already had our inherent land title. And becoming a part of the Australian Federation meant that they had to sort that part out. They haven't sorted out our rights as First Nations peoples around a whole range of other issues, which a treaty will, but certainly native title sorted out the land matters and gave everyone Eluas and gave us the settlement, and that's where we are now. So it's nothing but subservient land under British servant law, Australian law now, it's their land law. We fit subserviently under that. And now we've got Eluas all over Australia. We've got lands and parcels of land that don't belong to Aboriginal people. They're still Crown land. Land that's coming back is rubbish. So this is the sorts of things that are still being meted out to us today, where, you know, people won't be happy. I think I said to you, Jimbo, it's like oh, I'd love to have your orange. And then you stick your thumb in that orange and you squeeze it, you suck the blood out of it and the juice and the goodness. And you can say, here, Jimbo, here's your orange. Well, no, you shove that orange, because one day when they sort it all out, that's what they're going to be giving back. They'll be giving back land. That is what it is.
Right, so historically it's one of the bigger wins for our First Nation people in the country. Now we've reached to a point after several years of appeals. Sadly, we lost a lot of people in that process, during the appeal process, and we don't really want to dwell on that. But I think it's worth mentioning that.
Well, we didn't appeal. That's the main thing. We won the Wilcox case, and then everyone went around and said, oh, we're going to lose the big appeal. Let's cut a deal. And the fact is that, you know, I didn't see an opinion on that appeal. And there are still questions about whether that appeal would have been successful. But we are where we are, and we've got what we've got, and Noongar now have to just take advantage of what we've got. Aboriginal people, as you know, Jimbo, we're all used to getting screwed over with everything and anything. You know, your left hand's got the Bible and the right hand's got the gun. I think that's what our Kev Carmody said to us. You know, that's pretty much what the deal was. You know, here's the deal, we got the gun. We'll give you the land we want to give you, not the land you want back, and it's all rubbish land. It's all... But it's the marvellous thing about our settlement, Jimbo, is it's given our regional governments the chance to get up and run. Good. Those regional corporations out there are our regional governments, and they've got to get out of service delivery and think sovereign, free their minds, and become our local governments.
Well, you're talking to our guest today, Dennis Eggington, ex-ALS. A bit of warm in here. Now is chair of the South West... Land and Sea Council.
Central Services, yes. Southwest Land and Sea Council is dead and gone.
Dennis, you requested this song. It's a great song. Just announce to our listeners.
Okay, well, I think we're going to go straight up with We Have Survived by Bart Willoughby and No Fixed Address. Murditch.
Welcome back to Murditch Mag, 92.1 and Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM. And our guest today has been Dennis Eggington. And, you know, Dennis has been a friend of Murditch Mag for years.
Forever.
Dennis, we're up to our 149th podcast today. And if you're missing part of this discussion, it'll be on the podcast on RTRFM's website a little later. And, in fact, any of our podcasts can be streamed. So if you miss out on that, but also Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Let's talk more about Noongar Rising. And if you've got any thoughts about what this man's talking about, I mean, if you're talking about Noongar Nation and Noongar Rising, which is sounding pretty radical, what are your feelings? 0405 921 921, 0405 921 921 is our text line. Yeah, tell us, say hello to us. Dennis, Noongar Rising.
Noongar Rising, well, it's a great way of saying what we've talked about, and that's the full emancipation of our rights. I mean, we have rights in this country. They're called First Nations rights. We've got a right to self-govern ourselves. There's no treaties for us to sign off on about our position in the national polity or the state polity, the state social society. And as a nation, we can... finally just say we're a legitimate nation, we've got legitimacy in our leadership. Noongar people have voted our government in place, and we're now to make deals with you as nation-to-nation deals. This country needs to be made up of a federation or a united nation of states, territories and First Nations collectives that manage and run this country. Our collective, which is our Noongar nation, manages and runs our own affairs. That's the way that it should work if it's all going well.
Sounds like the Torres Strait Authority. That went off, didn't it? They've got their own authority managing the Torres Strait Islands.
Obviously authority is sort of main... To me, it's sort of thinking, well, they fit within another regime.
Right.
A local government or an Australian made-up regime, okay. But I would think that our Noongar nation is made up from our old bloodlines and our connections to country, and I hope that in the future our young people that will take this forward will look at that part of our leadership I mean, we have to be able to lead us into the future and build up our forever wealth and a forever concept for Noongar, because this is the only deal we're going to be able to do, and we've got to make the best of it. So it's forever, it's intergenerational wealth, so that in 500 years, 1,000 years' time, Noongar Nation can be an economic masterpiece within the fabric of this society. And there's no, is only discrimination in this country that is not allowing our First Nations collectives to legitimately form governments and be a part of the Federation of Australia. And that is an indictment against the rights of our mobs, and particularly Noongar in this case. And for those people who don't know Noongar, Noongar is the whole southwest of WA. There's 40, 45,000 of us. And as a collective, we're unstoppable. But that's our basic human right. It's a First Nations person's right to continue to govern ourselves.
Mm. And we're talking the southwest, you know, even Geraldton now, there's being said that that's on Noongar Budja. But that, we could debate that. So we go from, you know, parts of the Midwest up to and not including Geraldton, down south to Albany, but and then across to Esperance and even to Kalgoorlie, but not including Kalgoorlie. There's all sorts of distinction now where the delineage is about dividing our people, but, you know, you can't divide our mob. So it's really interesting to hear what you have to say. Who are these groups within Noongar that...
My cousin, right here, Cousy, what are their clan groups now? Because they've been amalgamated a bit.
Yeah, at the moment we've got Whadjuk, which is the Perth region, Ballardong, Northam, Ewart, Mora region, Carrick, which was formerly known as South West Pajara, which is the Bustle and Margaret Manjum up. And we've got Wagalkep, Great Southern.
Minang and Gorang.
And they're part of the Minang, Gorang and Albany region as well.
Nuki Nuki out Southern Cross, Meriden Way. And just south of Perth is Binjarab, or people call it Pinjarra.
Yeah.
Binjarab and Wadandi, further south to Bunbury, Bustledon. That's probably all.
They've been amalgamated as well. So, I mean, whatever's been done, but it does cover all Noongar country, Jimbo.
And it does. It does.
And if you keep going, we probably cover the whole state, my brother.
No, there's been disputes about parts of Midwest, but you won't go there. We don't want to upset the Yamaji people. Southern Yamaji, but, you know, it's just over the sandhills from Joondalup, eh?
Oh, well, we better give a call out to Raylene Bilotti and all their mob up there that are looking after the Southern Yamaji Nation.
They're probably not listening in unless they go live streaming. So, Dennis, it's a big, big challenge for you, I think, but I don't think it's... You know, I think it can be done. With you at the helm there as chair of the, you know, SWALS, Southwest Aboriginal Land and Sea Council, I guess you're going to have the support of the membership as far as the board. How's that fitting in? Or have you attempted to discuss that at this point?
No, not since that 24-year journey that we just talked about. It has been a 24-year journey. Noongar Nation was first mentioned in the General Assembly of the United Nations back in 1994 by a delegation of people that went across, including myself. And so it's a long-term objective. It's an intergenerational objective to get our nation strong and up. But that's my job now, to go out and promote the morphing of what was our land council into the South, you know, our land rights movements into their land councils, and then from the land council, we're now the central services. Life, our collective want for rights, land rights, universal human rights, is a part of what's in the essence and in the philosophy of our land councils. We can't lose that. That's a perfect veil to take us into nationhood. So we're coming that way. We're coming from a struggle for our rights, Fanny Bulbrook and all them walking through settlers' homes and saying, this is my country, I'll walk my own way. Yeah. Right up to us sitting here now, it's been a journey for Noongar. But that 24-year journey started back in 2000. It's now the second stage of the journey where we'll go out and we'll cement our regional corporations, governments in place. If Noongar are on side, if Noongar don't want that, that's fine. And I hope that, you know, Noongar in 1,000 years' time are still doing well for ourselves.
Let's pull Tonji into the conversation here. He's a dynamic creature that's in the southwest, the Carrick Regional Council, and they're moving ahead quite smoothly. I mean, I think they're sort of a bit of a best practice for the other regional councils. Tonji, what are your thoughts on how this is progressing from Dennis Eggington's point of view, our guest here at Mooney Mag today?
Yeah, Jim, I think it's, you know, far as, you know, being part of Carrick as one of the board members, I think it's a good way moving forward. I think what we're doing as Carrick is that we're also looking after the rest of the regions. And when I say that is that we're not going ahead. We are also having that moment of reflection to ensure that we're looking after each other, because we are unified in this together. We are one. We are not. We might be working in our own groups, but we believe that we need to really, really protect each other and care for each other throughout this process. Because what we don't want to see is one of our groups, struggle or fail, because if one of us does, then we all do. And we know that government are waiting for that. So we, as Aboriginal leaders in this group, we're really keen to care for the rest of our groups. And that's really a great partnership where I think Dennis and the chairmans of each board come together and they have those discussions to ensure that we're all on the same roadmap together, going towards the same journey and supporting each other and, you know, talking about things that might become a little bit challenging, a little bit difficult, finding new solutions, finding new ideas about how do we work together to overcome these barriers and roadblocks. And sometimes that's government, local government. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, like, for example, the mayor of Margaret Rivershire Council, you know, she was really passionate about dual naming. She said, I want to lead the way. I want to also lead the way around that all the land you get back in Carrick, you won't pay rates for it. Mm. And she is advocating for that very strongly. And I think that's true leadership, you know, and that's coming from the government side of it. And that's what we need to work together and ensure that ripple effect comes right across our country.
There you have it. There's a no-brainer, Dennis. You know, when we're talking
about it. It's a no-brainer, and that's where we've got to go. I mean, what else do we do? Swirl around and continue to take scraps and fight among ourselves over things. I mean, there's so much instability in Noongar country, and I did say yesterday, you can't constantly have new chairpersons and new boards. You become confused. There's no stability and resilience and strength of purpose. So yeah. I encourage all Wayo Noongar people to come together under the one banner, and that is the job of central services. If we can morph into a more meaningful and a more personal relationship. And I'm glad Tonji mentioned the fact that of those corporations, we see ourselves as being beside them, walking with them, and supporting those nations. If we haven't got our strong foundations, then give it away. So central services has got to be a part of building strong foundations for Cousins Currycurrack and for all the other regions, which I hope will support us in our movements.
Good. Well, it's a bit like that description that has often been said. I don't know about joggies in a bucket, but crabs in a bucket, you know, that pulling people back. And, you know, we've obviously got to come together. And that's what Noongar Rising is all about. So Dennis Eggington, our guest today, has enlightened us and our listeners, certainly me. We've been on this journey for 24 years, as you say, the development of Noongar Nation. So thank you for coming in to take the time. And sorry we couldn't find you a parking spot at the back, but next time we'll make sure you get a VIP parking at the back, Dennis.
Look, please apologise to RTR-FM because I've wiped your back fence out. I've done about 5 grams damage to my
ear. Oh, you so. Shouldn't have had to admit that, never mind. Okay. That's another story. Hey, look,
sorry, I'm not admitting anything.
Your ex-legal service, you don't say these sort of things. We're going to go with Black Nation, Emma Donovan, whose father's a Neville Counsellor, great bloke, SAS, Vietnam vet.
Yeah, let's I might go. Need him in a minute.
No, it's a nice song. Black Nation, Emma Donovan. Oh, Black Nation, Ton.
What a beautiful song.
Emma Donovan. It was only recently released too, and it's all about what we talked about just recently, Noongar Nation, and talking about Black Nation. You know, there was what, 250 different languages, BC before Cook.
Yeah.
And that there in that tells you how many nations we've had in this country for 2,000, 3,000 generations. So it is really a truth-telling tool where we talk about Noongar nation building and black nation. So that was Emma Donovan. We're going to go another song, and we're going to get our next guest. And here's something that's really quite black too. It's Black Smoke. We went from Black Nation to Black Smoke. Let's go to Emily Waimara. Oh, Black Smoke on Black Smoke after Black Nation. It's all about black today.
Well, it's one of the favourite colours.
Hello to Kylie Taylor, the program manager of the West Australian Indigenous Leadership Organisation, West Australian Aboriginal Leadership Institute. Good morning, Kylie.
Hi, Uncle. How are you?
Ah, look, I'm really well now that I've got you on the radio and being interviewed. Tonji's my co-host today. I think you know Tony Hansen.
Good morning, Kylie. How are you?
What is it? Sounds good. Thank you very much.
That's
I've
good.
I've never done a podcast before.
Never mind, this is live, so it's not a podcast. But later on today, you'll be able to hear yourself. If you go to RTR FM's website, you can live stream the interview. This is our 149th podcast, so it's available for all to hear. If you're curious about the program and want to know more about Kylie, 0405921921 is our text line, 0405921921. Kylie, welcome to the show. Who's your mob and where are you from?
So I'm a tailor. So my mother from Three Springs, Nyanrot. So my family are Gentles and Woolies on my Nan Angelina's side and tailors, Mars and Kellys on my Pop John's side. I've lived on Binjara Buja for the last 30 years, but I'm a Mojat Noongar. I was born in Rockingham, and I also have Yamatji connections as well. So
there you go. Welcome to the show. You were there yesterday at Danju Kuling, and you confronted me and said, I want to be on your radio show. No, I actually approached you and said, look, I love what you're doing, and I think our listeners need to understand more about what's involved in the work you do. So tell us about the Leadership Institute, what it does, and maybe we'll talk about some of the programming that's happening soon. And I think you have some new programs. So give us a bit of background of how the Institute came about.
Okay, so I'm a program manager at Wylie, and it's in West Perth. We're right near Watertown there. Wylie, it's an independent and not-for-profit organisation. Our programs, what sets us apart from other leadership programs, our programs are created by mob and for mob, and the purpose of our programs are to inspire and support the participants that take part in our programs to take up leadership opportunities to strengthen their families and communities. The biggest point of difference in our programs, apart from that it's been created by mob and for mob, are our beautiful elders' involvement across all of our programs. We, I think we kind of lead the way in that area. The elders are our beautiful golden thread, and some of our elders include Aunty Liz Hayden, Aunty Viv Hanson, Aunty Millie Penny, Aunty Mari Pryor, Aunty Shirley Harris, and Aunty Shirley Thorne.
To name a few.
To name a few.
And I see you've mentioned only women there. What's the bias towards women? Is there a bias towards women, or is it something you're looking forward to with getting men involved in the leadership program?
Oh, no bias at all. I've got some exciting news for you then,
good,
Uncle, because Sam Gala is our other program manager, and he is currently working on workshops and consulting with community about a men's program. That will be, the first one will be run the second half of the year. So we have been advertising on socials, so LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. So if you want any more information, please go onto the website at wylie.org.au. And I'm just talking about the women's program today because they're the ones that are in my portfolio.
Yes, of course. We can't get our genders mixed up. But look, I might just have a word too about this new program, because I've always been of the view that it's women only, but no, you're reaching out to the male gender here. So there's Aboriginal Men's Leadership Program, empowering First Nations men to lead and inspire. That's what it's all about. And Sam Garland is your contact there. He's the program manager for men, eh? Is that how that works?
Well, the men's program, the mum's program, and also the emerging leaders program. So we have the Yorga Janabidi program, the emerging leaders program, and also the peer early intervention leadership program, which is a women's program, just on a smaller scale, like a shorter scale, and that is done with inmates in local West Australian female prisons.
Wow. Look, the objectives of the programs look like developing leadership capacity for Aboriginal and wider community benefit, and to facilitate meaningful and positive intercultural interactions. That's amazing. I mean, so Wiley's been going for how long?
Since 2015.
Right.
Dr. Robin Woolley and Rochelle Humes were the founders. And that was actually originally run out of Government House. And now we run the program out of Lotteries West House in West Perth.
Oh, okay. Well, tell us more then. You've got some programming coming up and you want people to get in touch with you. So it's a latter part of this year. Is that for the men's program or for the women's as well? Are you running two concurrently?
The men's program, the first one will be the second half of the year, but the Yorga Janabidi is run, the first one will be starts in May, so it goes from April to May. April is actually our orientation day, and then our second one is from August to December. So April to July, and then August to December for the Yorga Janabidi program. And if anyone is interested in the Emerging Leader program, so that's for our young mob, or the men's program, please get in touch with Sam Garlett at Wiley on our Wiley page, or email admin@wiley.org.au.
Wow. So this is the first time you've been on radio or media. What, have you had a chance to talk to other media about this, or is this the first?
No, this is the first.
Wow. Okay. RTR. Well, RTRFM, proud to sponsor, if you like, or encourage the development of this. So we will keep an eye on the brochure. And if you're listening to Murich Mag, Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM, you'll need to go to the Wiley website. W is the West Australian. Tom, what is the website?
The website?
www.waali.com. .org.au.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Sam Garland and yourself, Kylie Taylor, will be taking calls from there. I guess you register your interest from that website and go to the contact and talk to either Samuel Garland or Kylie Taylor. So have you been involved in leadership programs yourself? Are you facilitating or...?
Yes, I'm actually an alumni. So I completed the program in the first half of 2023. So my background is teaching and community services.
Wow.
So I was looking for some purpose, and because I'm a qualified Noongar language teacher and a lecturer. So I've been in education for 10 years.
Oh.
And I'd done the program looking for purpose. I actually never thought I would get in, and I did. So, and it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, and now I'm actually program manager for Wiley. So,
lovely,
very good, Kylie. Kylie, just looking at the programs and the length of the program, is there any costings beyond the program as well for those that are interested to participate and join?
There are costs, so please refer to the website at the handbook, the Yorga Janabidi handbook. However, we do also provide scholarships to the right people, for sure. So we get a lot of funding from Department of Communities, West Australian Police, so they can put their staff through our leadership programs. However, we are constantly looking for funding from businesses and organisations as well, as we are not for profit.
Look, we're just about to wind up now. Is there anything more you'd like to tell us? We've kind of left it to you to, you know, inform our listeners and ourselves as to what Wali's all about. Is there something we've missed?
Well, I'd just like to just mention the key features of the program.
Good.
So, as I said before, Yoga Genubity provides guidance from elders. So they're our golden thread. They co-facilitate the program and walk alongside participants on their leadership path. We also provide collaborative learning. So the Yoga get to collaborate with fellow First Nations women to enhance both their leadership growth and that of their peers. So we have broad age range in our programs as well. So our younger mob can learn from our older mob and vice versa. We also offer continued support and coaching. So upon graduating, our participants become integral members of our alumni program. And I'm an alumni, so I can speak to that. And ensure that support continues beyond the completion of the program. And networking opportunities. So networks are everything. And instead of working in silos, we get together and we offer each other support. So, yeah.
Good. I don't want you to go yet because there's a song here for you. We'll play that song and then talk some more after this song if that you're still available to wind up your segment. Can we do that?
Sure. Well, thank you, Uncle.
Let's go to a song. Oh, Moon River, that's an old and old and oldie, isn't it? I can't recall who the original was. Yeah, Gina Williams and Guy Gauss doing their bit with language and marvellous. Gina was also very high profile in recent times during the Festival of Perth with her Noongar opera, which was just amazing too. So Gina and Guy were instrumental in that. So what a great song. And that would bring back a lot of memories for a lot of our listeners. If you liked it, call us 0405. No, don't call us. Send us a text. 0405921921. This is Murish Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Coming to the end of the show, and you wanted to have a big shout-out to the Narrogin mob, eh?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, I guess this time of the week, you know, most of our mob are going through sorry business, so just really thinking of all of our mob that are dealing with sorry business today and tomorrow and over the coming weeks, and just really want to send a special mention to the Markle and Yugal family in Narrogin as they go through sorry business, and we remember one of our brothers from the mission, and we're thinking of you all, and we're thinking of all of our other families right across the state that are going through the same issues as well.
Yeah, sad time. I mean, too many of our stolen generation peoples we're losing this year in particular, and a bit of sadness because there hasn't been a closure for West Australian stolen generation peoples, and we just hope that sometime soon the West Australian government will look seriously at this situation because it's, as a lot of our elders have said, they're waiting for us to die. And I think that's a sad indictment on the West Australian government for not pulling their finger out and doing something constructive. Other states have done it.
Yeah.
So why isn't WA?
Yeah, it's sad, Jim. And I think it's that key message our elders are saying, because if we just think about it and go back over the last 2 years, it's just a conversation we've had with some of our elders, and we can easily name at least 150 people that have passed away.
Oh, easy. Yeah, yeah, easy. As you say. Yeah. And, you know, there's probably three or four in the morgue now, which is a sad reality of our world. There's too many bodies out there that need to be, you know, there needs to be some closure for our families. Even the costs of funerals are just far too much for people that are experiencing, you know, issues around, well, let's call it that. What is it? It's poverty. It's poverty, and it doesn't allow for our people to be buried in a respectful manner within a required time. So big issues and big challenges. And it really has to, the government have to wake up to this and look at how we can overcome this and closure around redress, reparation for all those hundreds of thousands at least children that were stolen from community and country. So it's about that time we should be winding up. So we're going to say goodbye. This is Mortich Mag. Tonji, thanks for coming in and relieving Nick Abraham. And
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And thanks, Kylie and Dennis, for your participation. And we really appreciate that. And goodbye. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, thank you. Cheerio.
Go back, Noongar people, to the values of before. Gain strength from your culture, the spiritual dreaming war. Seek shelter from the vulture.